People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio and Rodney Trudgeon greeting you and welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. It seemed to me rather strange that Cape Town hardly ever has a pantomime. Johannesburg is very famous for its pantomimes, so is Durban. And now what's possibly the first ever Cape Town pantomime has just opened at the Baxter Theatre called Jack and the Beanstalk, a famous story if ever there was one. And the set designer for that is Greg King, who is the founder of Kix Art Theatre Productions and the design behind dozens of South African productions, dozens of major ones, many award-winning ones. And Greg is with me in the studio to talk about Jack and the Beanstalk and his rather extraordinary career. So, Greg, welcome. Welcome to Cape Town, I say.
It's exciting to be here.
Because you are based in Durban, I'm right in saying
that,
aren't you?
Yes, that's correct.
And tell me, this Jack and the Beanstalk, are you doing a traditional approach for it? Or are you being all sort of clever and controversial?
No, we are being very traditional in the sense of what goes into a good, boisterous, rollicking pantomime.
Because that's the whole point, isn't it? The pantomime has to be boisterous and rollicking.
Very much
with
so.
Some chances taken here and there.
Definitely. Yeah, it's we have been, when I say we, Kickstart Theatre has been producing a panto in Durban for the last 20-something years.
Oh, as long as that.
Yeah, it has been quite and we've established a lovely family audience who come and see the show time after time. And this is a wonderful opportunity to come to Cape Town and introduce our work.
Is it the first time you've come to Cape Town with your work?
It'll be the first pantomime that we have done. We have done a lot of work in association with other producers like Peter Turin.
That's right. Well, famously, you worked on My Fair Lady, didn't you?
That's
and
right,
also The
yes.
Sound of Music, both of which were award-winning productions.
Yeah, I didn't do The Sound of Music, but My Fair Lady was my...
Oh, right, right. Didn't you win an award for that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you see, congratulations.
Thank you.
What a production that was, and what a set, what a lovely, what shall I say, challenge to produce something like that.
It really was. It was an absolute joy, but there were also many days, weeks of dread.
and it also went to Durban, doesn't it?
Yes, it did. It had a run in here in Cape Town, then Johannesburg, and finally a week in Durban, and it was a joy to bring
Just tell me a little bit, before we talk more about Jack and the Beanstalk, about your company that you founded, Kickstart Theatre Productions.
Yes.
What do you do, apart from pantomimes?
Kickstart began literally as a banner under which I put together, produced, and directed a show back in 2000. And it was at a time not long after the arts councils had closed down or reformed. Mm-hmm. And I had grown up loving the theatre and I had such a privilege of seeing such huge, spectacular shows over those years as a kid. And I was missing the fact that as a result of all the changes, so many artists were doing small pieces that they could pack into a boot of a car and head to festivals and travel around. And it just didn't have the theatricality of the shows that I remembered and missed. And so we put on a play called Popcorn, a play by Ben Elton in 2000, and that was my first effort at producing and directing a show. And it kind of snowballed from there. So, yes, I began producing plays under the banner of Kickstart. And when I met my husband and creative partner, Stephen Stead, he came back to Durban from the UK with a wealth of knowledge, particularly in musical theatre and opera. He worked for the English National Opera as a staff director for 10 years. And he joined me with all that experience and knowledge, and we started producing musicals as well.
So well, he, Stephen, famously directed My Fair Lady, didn't
That's
he?
That's correct.
As well as The Sound of Music.
That's right.
So a really creative team you have between the two of you. Is the company any bigger than the two of you?
No, it's very lightweight. And I think that's one of the reasons we've been able to keep going and sustain ourselves, is that we keep it very, very lean. And obviously we have a wonderful support team of creatives and performers and technicians who come on board when we have opportunity to.
And you said to me that most of your productions are at the Playhouse Theatre in Durban.
We haven't worked at the Playhouse for a while. We do absolutely use that theatre, but our home base has become the Elizabeth Sneddon Theatre, which is on the university campus.
Famous theatre in Durban. It's been there forever. And I remember reading somewhere in your biog about the Loft Theatre Company, which I remember from Durban.
Right. So in my youth and growing up, my sole ambition was to be a member of the Loft Theatre Company. It was a wonderfully creative and dynamic company at the time, run and managed by Nicholas Ellenbogen.
That's right.
And
who's down here now?
That's correct, yeah. And the year that I graduated, the Loft Theatre Company closed down. So I really missed out on an extraordinary chapter there, had I been able to get into the company. But I think that's also been one of the kind of motivations for me to make work and make theatre, because yes, I feel like I missed the boat.
Sort of take it in your own hands, so to speak, and run with it.
Yeah.
Had you met Stephen before you formed Kickstart?
Yes, we'd known each other a few years prior to that. He used to come. He had grown up in Durban and had performed in many shows in Durban and was also producing his own work even back then as a as a teenager.
Both of you have theatre very much in your blood, don't you? And musicals.
Yeah. Correct.
It must be fun to work with someone close like that on production, with you doing the set design, Stephen doing the direction, or isn't it?
It is wonderful. I mean, really, you know, we don't have kids, but we think of our shows that they're like our family. And, of course, the people involved are our family too. It's a very wonderful and satisfying
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Greg, before we go on talking more about Jack and the Beanstalk, I want to hear what you've done with it and give us a few clues. What is your first piece of music?
So I thought that we should start with a piece from Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods called Giants in the Sky, simply because it relates to Jack and the Beanstalk. But I've also chosen this piece because I, obviously, as a musical theatre fan, love his and so admire his work. And we've had the good fortune to have produced three of his musicals as Kickstart, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, and most recently the South African premiere of Company, which was an absolute joy to do. But I thought Giants in the Sky would be a good start and connect us to Jack and the Beanstalk.
There are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. When you're way up high and you look below at the world you left and the things you know, little more than a glance is enough to show you just how small you are. When you're way up high and you're on your own in a world like none that you've ever known, where the sky is lead and the earth is stone, you're free to do whatever pleases you, exploring things you never dare, cause you don't care when suddenly there's a big, tall, terrible giant at the door. Big, tall, terrible lady giant sweeping the floor. And she gives you food and she gives you rest. And she draws you close to her giant breast. And you know things now that you never knew before. Not till the sky. Only just when you've made a friend and all, and you know she's big but you don't feel small, someone bigger than her comes along the hall to swallow you for lunch. And your heart is lead and your stomach's stone, and you're really scared being all alone. And it's then that you long for the things you've known, and the world you left and the little you own. The fun is done, you steal what you can and run. And you scramble down and you look below, and the world you know begins to grow. The roof, the house, and your mother at the door. In the world you never thought to explore. And you think of all of the things you've seen, and you wish that you could live in between. And you're back again, only different than before. After the sky, there are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible, awesome, scary, wonderful giants in the sky.
Music by Stephen Sondheim from his show called Into the Woods, and that was called Giants in the Sky. It was the first choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note, who's Greg King. And he's talking about the reason he's in Cape Town, which is for Jack and the Beanstalk at the Baxter, which has just opened and runs through till the 27th of July. And it turns out that it's one of the first pantomimes here in Cape Town. So, Greg, I'm keen to know what you've done. I joked earlier, it is a pantomime, and I think the trick with that isn't it that you've got to appeal to adults as well as to children. So you can't be too naughty or too off the wall.
Very much so.
Tell me, give us a little hint, clue, what we can expect.
Yeah, sure. So, of course, it's a fairly honest retelling of the classic, which everybody knows.
Yeah,
but it's done in this pantomime style, which we have tried to honor as best we can, knowing all the traditions of
pantomime.
British pantomime.
Yes, yes.
So
it does come from Britain, doesn't it? The whole pantomime idea.
Yeah, the style, not to make a history lesson out of it, but it came out of music hall, which was essentially variety show.
Yes, yes.
Back in the day. And a pantomime is a series of stock acts ranging from musical numbers to comedy sketches and so forth that are all linked together,
yes,
with the retelling of a fairy tale. A
and sometimes over-the-top characters.
Very much so. That's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the traditional story has been enhanced and fleshed out with a number of additional characters, which Stephen Stead has written into our version of Jack. So there is this dastardly Lady Beastly, who is the baddie in the show, who is there to unleash the giants on the village, and she enlists the help of two robbers named Cecil and Claude, who are a hilarious comedy act. I'm so excited for people to see them. They bring the house down. There is a good fairy who's guiding Jack on his way and his adventure. So in that way, the show is embellished and enhanced to include all these zany characters and lots of fun in the process.
And the music, Greg?
The music is a compilation of old and new. We stick to the maxim that pantomime is a bit like a wedding. It should have something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue.
Yes, that's true.
And so, we'll move from one musical number that appeals to the grown-ups or even, has Gran and Grandpa tapping their feet and remembering an old song, up to the latest thing on TikTok, which appeals to the kids.
Goodness me.
So
can you
it really
give
is a
can
range
you give us
of,
a little clue of what sort of songs will we recognize?
So you'll hear music from Michael Bublé. You'll hear a version of Cole Porter's You're the Top. And then that sits alongside Bad Romance by Lady Gaga and Mambo Number 5 and you name
so
it. It's
when
a
you,
whole potpourri.
When you come to do a pantomime on something like Jack and the Beanstalk, you have to obviously visualize what it's going to look like as well, since you are the set designer.
Sure.
So how have you set it? Is there anything traditional there, or is it all so little typical pantomime over-the-top scenery?
Well, it is over-the-top. People have described it as like stepping into a storybook. And that really
well,
comes
a good thing.
From – it really comes from one of my starting points. I grew up loving the work of Walt Disney, and I taught myself to draw – copying his many animated characters, and at that age I was dead set on being an animator and an actor and
everything to do with the theater.
So I really think that my illustrating work in between working in the theater has really led to what this show looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very strong cartoony, two-dimensional, illustrative feel to it. And yes, I hope it's like stepping into a storybook.
Right. And things like costumes?
The costumes follow suit. They're wacky and over the top, but also glamorous and gorgeous and suit each of the characters involved.
It's funny that all pantomime seems to have a grand, old, dreadful woman like you've just said, Beastly. What did you call her?
Lady Beastly. Lady Beastly. Our baddie in the show.
Almost like the three sisters, the ugly sisters in Cinderella.
Sure. So,
and sometimes they're in drag, or are these women are doing the parts?
Lady Beastly is played by an actress, and she, and that's Liesl Coppin and Samantha Landers, plays our good fairy, and they are the forces of good and evil. And our show opens sticking to panto tradition in rhyming couplets with the two of them appearing and pitching themselves against each other, and so the story commences. But yes, of course, the other big tradition that goes with panto is having a panto dame.
Yes.
Which is a man dressed as a female character.
Have you got that?
Absolutely. Okay. We have the wonderful Blessing Kaba, who is playing our dame Flora Flatbroke, which is Jack's mother. And of course, she ends up the beanstalk as well and joins the adventure. So
it's, I mean, you're smiling broadly here. It sounds like you've had a lot of fun working on it.
It's been a joy.
Has it had a run in Durban already?
We presented Jack and the Beanstalk for the first time back in 2013.
Oh.
And then did a new production in 2023. So we have visited the show.
It's had a good run
before. Yeah, it's,
and all the bits
well
and pieces have
tested.
Been, yes, it's tested. It's tested. Let's have another piece of music, Greg. What have you got for us this time?
Well, relating to my love of Walt Disney, I've chosen a number from the stage adaptation of The Little Mermaid with music by Alan Menken. And this is a lesser known song from the musical. It's the Prince Eric's number. And I've chosen this just to connect to my drawing and my love of illustration and Walt Disney's work.
Where did she go? Where can she be? When will she come again? Calling to calling to me, calling to me. Somewhere there's a girl who's like the shimmer of the wind upon the water. Somewhere there's a girl who's like the glimmer of the sunlight on the sea. Somewhere there's a girl who's like a swell of endless somewhere she is singing and her song is meant for me. And her voice, it's sweet as angels sighing. And her voice, it's warm as summer sky. And that sound, it haunts my dreams and spins me round until it her voice. I can sense her laughter in the ripple of the waves against the shoreline. I can see her smiling in the moonlight as it settles on the sand. I can feel her waiting just beyond the pale horizon, singing out a melody too lovely to withstand. And her voice, it's there as dusk is falling. And her voice, it's there as dawn steals by. Pure and bright, it's always near, all day, all night, and still I
That was called Her Voice. It's from the stage production of The Little Mermaid, the original Broadway cast recording. And it was the second choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Greg King, who's in Cape Town with the show Jack and the Beanstalk, for which he's set designed. And it's being directed by Stephen Stead. And it's running, as we speak, at the Baxter Theatre until the 27th of July. Greg, a few times you've said about you were very young and you wanted to do this and you were determined to get into the world of theatre. How did that happen? Did you come from a theatrical family?
Yeah, my parents were both avid theatre goers and introduced me to theatre at a very early age, seeing pantomimes and plays for children where I grew up in Pietermaritzburg. And from as far back as I can remember, I've loved nothing more than sitting in a theater waiting for that red velvet curtain to rise and for the magic to begin.
It's funny you should say that about it. I just want to do a sidetrack here, the red velvet curtain, which for me is just magnificent. And I get very irritated, indeed, if there's no curtain. If you come into the theater and the stage is open, or even if there's a gauze down, I like the red curtain to lift with those wonderful lights.
It is quite magical, isn't it?
Now, what are you going to do with Jack and the Beanstalk? Do you have a red curtain?
Well, not quite, but there is a big reveal at least.
Okay.
So when audiences come into the theater, they will see our front cloth or show cloth, which is a big title of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
And so that reveals the first scene while we wait in hopefully eager anticipation.
But now, Greg, when you were young, as you said, and you wanted to get into theatre, did you always want to be a set designer, director? Did you ever want to act or sing or dance?
Set design was not on the table at that time. I was dead set on being up there on the stage and being an actor. And I did a degree in drama studies in Pietermaritzburg and was hell-bent on being an actor. And, maybe I was just never very good. But once I got out there, I found that it was very difficult to find regular work as an actor. And because I have a couple of strings to my bow, I have been able to dabble in various things. And the drawing and illustrating, which I've always loved to do.
You said you started that very early.
Yes.
Copying Walt Disney's stuff.
That's correct, yeah. I used to copy his drawings and drew all the way through my childhood. It was a great hobby and pastime of mine. And that has led, I think, just by a series of happy accidents to me getting into set design and necessity as well. Mm-hmm. When we've been putting a show together and I've opted to create a set for it because it was required.
You know what I'll always remember, Greg? This is a big compliment for you because it had such a impact on me, was when the curtain rose, or whatever it did, on Higgins's study in that production of My Fair Lady. And there was a kind of gasp from the audience, which I'm sure you noticed.
Well, it was a very satisfying moment. We put a lot of love into that,
and
into
you could
that
see.
Set.
So you obviously work in many different styles as well, because there we have Henry Higgins and his library. And then there's the pantomime stuff as well.
Yeah, so they are obviously in huge contrast to one another because there's a level of realism and naturalism in something like Fair Lady, whereas the panto is, you know, very much a cartoon world.
Yes,
that appeals to youngsters. But what I'd say they are both steeped in is nostalgia. Along with the pantomimes, I must say that one of the most formative experiences in the theater was seeing a production of Fair Lady in NAPAC back in the 80s, directed by Jeffrey Sutherland and designed by Andrew Buerta. And I still think of it as one of the most enchanting experiences, theater experiences of my life, which was a wonderful inspiration when it came to finally getting to design the show myself.
Was this the first time you designed the show?
I have worked on a production, again, with Stephen for the Playhouse Company in 2006. But this was the first time that the show, you know, we really came from the get-go, from a conceptual start. But yeah, so the two shows, although they couldn't be more different, are both steeped in the nostalgia that comes with loving all these forms of theater over the years. And I hope that that comes across for theater goers as well.
Did you then consciously decide to stop acting and to move into the backstage stuff, set design, that sort of thing?
There was a point where I figured, okay, this makes much more sense for me to pursue this line of work. Yeah. And it was also a lucky coincidence that in my partnership with Stephen, he takes the reins as director, and I can complement that with the design work. So in that way,
and directing, well. Directing, Greg?
I've done a fair amount of directing some time ago. I've stuck to plays just because that's really my field.
Yes.
But yes, I have done quite a lot of work over the years as a director.
So when you come to design, I think I hinted at this earlier, something like Jack and the Beanstalk, you say you draw things, you have a vision in mind of what you want it to look like, and then hope that it gets built in such a way that it works.
Yeah, well, yes, I suppose the sort of cartoon illustrated world comes quite instinctively to me by this stage. I've been doing it for so long. So
How long, Greg?
Wow. I've been drawing since I was about 6 years old, and I'm 53 now. So
it's a long time.
You
started as early as six?
Yes, I think so.
With the sketching.
That's right, yeah. The first time I'd actually, we had a tea towel with Mickey Mouse and Goofy on it, and I happened to sit down and copy it, and apparently, my mother couldn't believe that I had done it by hand. She thought I had traced it. So there,
so there was obviously a talent there right from the beginning.
And she nurtured that as well. She was extraordinary. And she used to draw as well and keep me entertained by drawing for me when I was
It was then obvious that you were going to go into the world of theatre. So when you finished school, as you said, you went and did degrees and things.
That's right.
In Pietermaritzburg.
Dead set on a life in the theatre.
And look at you now, climbing Jack and the Beanstalk. Let's have another piece of music, Greg. What have you got for us this time?
Sure. This next piece is a number by Eva Cassidy. And I was introduced to her by an artist colleague when we were painting backdrops for a show in our workshop. So this number particularly, I remember hearing it on a rainy day like this one in Durban. And we stand for hours painting these great big backdrops, which are pinned out on the workshop floor, and I remember just going weak at the knees at the beauty and smoothness of this wonderful woman's voice. So I've put that on the list because I love it so.
Thank you.
walk in fields of gold.
That's the voice of Eva Cassidy singing the famous song by Sting called Fields of Gold from the album Songbird, and it's a track that my guest has chosen. My guest is Greg King, who's here as set designer of Jack and the Beanstalk. As I say, it's opened at the Baxter, and it runs until the 27th of July. And it's interesting, it's mid-year, although it is cold, because pantomimes one associates with Christmas, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
But it's the perfect time, a Cape Town winter.
Well, we hope so. People who are familiar with panto traditions will say, but doesn't that belong at Christmas time? But, you know, we're always busy presenting our panto in Durban over the Christmas period.
Oh, right.
And this was an opportunity to try it out in Cape Town, and hopefully we'll make it feel like Christmas in July. And
well,
that people will
some
come
restaurants
out.
Do that. They have Christmas in July,
certainly.
The whole roast turkey thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so do a pantomime every year in Durban?
We have been doing so for a couple of, well, many years now.
Many years, yeah.
20 years or so.
So I'm going to ask you at some stage in the program what your next one is.
Sure.
And maybe we'll even get it here in Cape Town. But before we get there, you said just now you were talking about painting a great big backdrops and things.
Yes.
Are you that hands-on? Are you very hands-on with all the design?
At home,
you
very much so.
Bang nails in and paint.
Yeah,
and
I have over the years taught myself carpentry and how to put a set together. One of the things about being in Durban and regularly associated with the Playhouse is that I spent many hours up at their workshops where sets were being built, and also learned, just because I had an interest and by observing, the really wonderful carpenters and scenic artists who worked there back in the day. So I picked up a lot of tricks indirectly from them.
Good. And now the one thing that I haven't asked you is, what about the cast? Is this a cast that has come down from Durban?
Sure. So the most of our cast on this particular show are our regular panto performers in Durban. So they know the style, and they many of them have done this particular show before. So they are returning to roles that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have some new people in the cast, Cape Town actors. We've got Brent Palmer, who's playing one of our baddies, and Samantha Landers, who is another wonderful songbird, playing our good fairy, and two very lovely dancers from Cape Town who have come up through the Lamta School.
Oh, yes.
So
gosh.
We're very
They
lucky
do incredibly MPs. Well, by the way, Lamta.
Don't they just?
You must go and see Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor
Dream. I can't wait. I believe it's wonderful.
It is.
If I can get in.
Apparently it's almost sold out before its trip to
What a wonderful success story.
Anyway, we won't talk about that because we talk about Jack and the Beanstalk.
Sure.
With the cast, as you said here, did you have to audition people to see if they're going to be okay for the role?
Yes. Well, auditions happened, you know, at home
in Durban.
Previously.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. And we do have a kind of stable of people who have worked on pantomime with us before in Durban, and
right.
We usually draw from that pool of people who know what is required, and because it's a very specific style, you know.
Exactly.
It's so heightened and cartoon-like in its presentation. It does feel like, you know, watching an animated cartoon film.
A good pantomime does that, doesn't it?
But I think what has been extraordinary about this work that Stephen has done is that he ensures that although it's got that presentational quality, it's loaded with heart and sincerity. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing empty about it. You really get a wonderful feel from each moment in the show, whether it's, you know, a rollicking musical number or a silly slapstick situation or a romantic scenario with Jack and his romantic interest, who is Jill, the princess. And I think Stephen is so clever at bringing great heart to the work because he has worked on musicals and operas and is a born theatre man. We don't treat this just as an entertainment for kids. He brings all of that skill and theatre knowledge and know-how to the work, and I think makes it something extraordinary for all of that.
I can't help thinking that I always think of Stephen Stead as someone very serious. I can't imagine him directing a pantomime, but you say that he's just as good.
Oh, you should live with him. He'll give us a totally different picture. No, of course, Stephen has a wonderful, wicked sense of humor.
Ah, good. Which you need for pantomime.
Most definitely, and the show is steeped in that as well.
All right. We're going to have another piece of music now, and I see something quite famous coming up.
Yes, well, of course, this connects to the work I did a little while ago on My Fair Lady. This is Julie Andrews from the original cast recording of My Fair Lady singing I Could Have Danced All Night.
Bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done. Never know what made it so exciting. Why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
It's after three now, don't you agree? Ought to be in bed.
Could have danced.
You're tired out.
All night.
You must be dead.
I could have danced.
Your face is drawn. Your eyes are red. Now say good night, please. Turn up the light, please. It's really time for you to be in bed.
I could have spoken.
To come along. Do as you're told. Or Mrs. Pierce is apt to serve. You're up too late, miss. And sure as fate, miss, you'll catch a cold.
Have
the iconic, may I say, Julie Andrews there with that iconic song, I Could Have Danced All Night from My Fair Lady, that the original Broadway cast recording. How sad she wasn't in the film, but we all know that story. Another choice of my guest, Greg King. Greg is in Cape Town. Their production of Jack and the Beanstalk is running at the Baxter Theatre. It sounds like something everyone should go and see, because I did say at the beginning, Greg, a pantomime is aimed at adults and children,
which must be
a big challenge for the director and the actors, by the way.
Yes, I think so.
How many, by the way, how big is the cast?
I think there are 13 in total with our dancers. Mm-hmm. The big challenge with a pantomime is to retell a popular story but keep all of the characters involved through the evening. And, yeah, I think we do a pretty good job with the mayhem that is created in the process.
The mayhem. Is there an orchestra involved, a band, or how does that work
with
the music?
No, so this production is all done with recorded tracks.
Oh, yes.
But we do have some wonderful vocalists in the show who are known as singers as much as they are actors. In Durban.
Greg, before I let you go, because our program is nearly over, believe it or not, I saw somewhere that you are the set designer for the Shakespeare show at Maynardville next year, Twelfth Night.
That's right.
How do you feel about that? Have you done that sort of thing before?
No, I dare say this will be the first Shakespeare that I have designed.
Ah, now there's a challenge.
I've done school productions and the like, but... the first professional production. And, of course, designing for the outdoors is also going to be a challenge.
Yes.
But I'm so looking forward to it. We know and are so impressed with Jaco van Rensburg and Wessel Oudendaal at VR Theatrical, who have, I think, revived the Maynardville tradition
here in
Cape Town.
Very much so.
And they've just done such a great job of it, and it's a wonderful opportunity to work with them and be a part of that festival.
This is maybe a sort of chicken and egg question, because now you're going to design Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm. So presumably you know who the director is and what he wants and what sort of angle he's going to take.
Yes, so luckily again, Stephen and I will work together.
Oh, is Stephen directing
it? Stephen will direct it. And we are still in the very early stages of that journey and conceiving what the show is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some fun ideas already, but it's the beginning of a process.
It's a fun play as well in many ways.
Wonderful
night.
Fun. Yeah, it's
of all the Shakespeare plays, it's lovely.
Joyous night out.
Absolutely. So that's Maynardville next year in January, isn't it? January, February,
correct,
thereabouts.
Yes.
And your first Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Stephen has done Shakespeare before, hasn't
Very
he?
Very much so, yeah. He's steeped in it and is passionate about it.
When I asked you the chicken egg thing, it just made me think, if you work with Stephen, that's different because you're partners in more mm-hmm. ways than one. But if it's another director, do you get together beforehand to meet to decide a sort of style?
Yeah, so I think the critical thing about working as a designer on a show is like the most communication possible between director and designer to make sure that we are on the same page and telling the same story, whatever it is, whether it's a pantomime or a Shakespeare. So, of course, that is an easy thing with Stephen. But since COVID, actually, I've been working with more and more directors, and it's been a really interesting process to engage with
also,
other
it would challenge you, wouldn't it? Because I'm not sure I should say this, but you might get into a position where you're slightly more cozy with working with Stephen in a sense that you both know you're both on the same page.
We have a shorthand, I think, that
a shorthand
has come from like many years of working together.
And now working with other directors, especially if it's someone you're working with for the first time, must present a challenge here and there.
There are challenges, but it's stimulating and exciting. And
well, of course, which is part of the whole thing, isn't it?
Very definitely.
And may I ask if you're prepared to give away what, if you want to come to Durban next year, or you may well come to Cape Town, what is your pantomime idea for next year?
So our next panto is a production of Sinbad the Sailor.
Perfect for Durban and for Cape Town, actually.
Sure. So that will play in the festive season this year. And all going well, we would love to bring panto to Cape Town on a more regular basis and make it a tradition in July.
It would be great to. I really think, as I said, I was startled when I saw that Cape Town doesn't normally have pantomimes like this that you're doing.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. I don't known, of course, not having lived in Cape Town. I'm not sure what the reasons for that are. I know that there are companies like Fred Abrahamson and Marcel Mayer produce a fairy tale.
That's right, in July,
show in July for young audiences at Canal Walk. And they've had a great success with that and continue to do so.
Yeah.
So we hope to be able to join them. And
yes, and we'll have to tell them all together about the show and that they must go along and have a look. And in the main theatre at the Baxter, isn't it?
That's the main theatre.
One more question is, do you listen to music? What is your other passion?
Well, yes, we listen to music a great deal at home.
For pleasure, I'm talking about for pleasure, not necessarily preparing for a show.
Certainly, and because working as a scenic artist or illustrator, you know, there are many, many hours spent alone focused on something, so having music in the background is a wonderful thing to keep one entertained.
And to keep you focused, in a sense, really, but also to let you relax.
For sure.
Because these things must be rather stressful.
They can be, indeed.
So, Greg, let me just reiterate. We've been talking about Jack and the Beanstalk, which has just opened at the Baxter Theatre. Here it's in the main theatre.
That's right.
At Baxter. And it's going to run until the 27th of July. So that's some 3 weeks, I think it is.
Yes.
So it certainly sounds as though you should go along and have a look. And then we'll see Greg back next year for 12th Night in an outdoor theatre. Have you been to Maynardville?
Yes.
You seen what it looks like?
A couple of times. And
okay,
I'm
so you know what you're having
to
work with.
Very much so.
Okay. Greg, thank you very much. And tell us about your last piece of music.
Well, this is not related to theatre at all. One of the things that Stephen and I love to do beyond making shows is travelling. And this next number by, well, it's a cover by Annie Lennox of a jazz standard called You Belong to Me. And it just reflects the world out there and all the wonderful places that there are to visit.
Do you get to travel much?
We've done a lot of travel, actually. We've visited places like Japan and Turkey, Egypt, New York.
And when you are overseas, do you try and see productions there as well to give you ideas?
When we can. When we are traveling, we usually are out exploring the countryside
in fact,
and
relaxing
nature.
Away from theatre.
Yeah,
anything.
Yeah. But if there's something interesting on, we'll certainly go and see it.
Right. Greg King, thanks very much for talking to us about the magical world of pantomime. I'm sure Jack and the Beanstalk is going to be a huge hit here in Cape Town. And all going well, we'll see you and Sinbad next year.
Thank you very much, Rodney. It's been
and a here we have You Belong to Me, Annie Lennox.
Blue.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.